We always enjoy having him on the radio show to comment about politics, especially Virginia politics. Dr. Bob Denton, director of the School of Communication up at Virginia Tech. Dr. Bob, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing very well. Doing very well, thank you. But now I need to just say 30 seconds worth of something.
Okay.
I've been listening this morning.
Okay.
Folks, we've had people in our congregation who got COVID and passed away. Hmm. We've had relations that passed away from COVID. No, they were not in their 70s and 80s. They were in their 30s, 40s, 50s. No, they did not have cancer. They were relatively healthy, maybe asthma, maybe a little bit overweight. And you know that 50% of those with COVID have long-term effects. Matter of fact, I've got two faculty members who still cannot taste anything.
Wow.
And have the weirdest odor sensation.
Yeah. Yeah.
Please, please, think seriously about getting the vaccine, if not for yourself, but for your loved ones. Mm. We've had husbands lost, and there are the wives with young children. Anyway, it just breaks my heart for the last year and a half. And so I'm sorry to chime in on that.
No,
I'm glad you did.
I just really feel like saying that.
I thank you for saying it. I've been beat up a little bit over my stance, and that's okay. You know, I put that target on myself, and we say it because we do care about people for sure. So, well, we're glad you're joining us today. I have to ask immediately, did you see the Terry tantrum?
Well, I did not, and I have to tell you, the first time that I, quote, heard about it was right this morning in terms of you playing it.
Right.
And I tell you what, I'd make an ad out of that, and start running it very quickly if I was the Youngkin campaign, for sure.
Yeah. Are you surprised? I'm really surprised at seeing this out. This is not your typical Terry McAuliffe.
It's not. And what it shows is he's scared, he's nervous, he's frightened. That is not Terry McAuliffe. Terry McAuliffe usually would go right in. I mean, he enjoyed the face-to-face, the confrontation.
Sure.
Very self-assured individual.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that is just, and even the handler. I mean, you don't, my goodness, you don't do that. It's shocking to me. He's more mature than that, more experienced than that. And really, I was surprised because that was the first time that I had heard that particular exchange. My goodness. That is surprising, but it also does give a sense, a little bit of desperation, a little bit of concern, which the polls do tend to indicate that they certainly should be concerned.
Yeah. I mean, even outside the state, I've got my brother in Florida checking in on things because this has sort of turned into a national race. My friend out in Colorado texted me last night and said, do you think Youngkin's going to win? And I said, well, things are trending that way, certainly. And we're hopeful, but, you know, this is it's so funny when a Republican gets within the margin of error, how Democrats just start, like you say, doing things that are uncharacteristic of what they've done before.
And certainly when you look at the enthusiasm, this is all about turnout.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, the larger the turnout, the more it favors Democrats. Mm-hmm. But they clearly, the polls reflected more enthusiasm among Republicans. And, of course, now Democrats bringing in Obama, Stacey Abrams, in terms of their concern about the African-American vote, Pelosi, Jill Biden. And I think right before the election, I think they're going to have to use their card in hand, which is even Joe Biden. They've got to get out their base.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, with early voting, now that's one of the four factors of this election. It's the first time we've had such a wide 40-day wide open window, certainly in the gubernatorial race.
Yeah.
We know as of the 19th, about 60% of the Democrats of the early voting, 60% are Democrat voted the Democrat, 40% Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
Republicans need to have a strong showing in that early vote as well. So anyway, that's the unknown factor that's going to impact the turnout is the early voting. And remember, in terms of with Gillespie, they were within the margin going in. And Gillespie right. kind of thought maybe their internal showed they had a chance of winning, but winning with less than 2%.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, he lost by 9%.
Right.
So it is so sensitive in terms of the turnout and by category. And I think that you can tell by the ads, the response ads that the McCulloch people are doing,
mm-hmm.
it certainly shows, even their internals, it has to be very, very close.
Yeah. Yeah. I do you think there's, maybe you can help me with this, the harvest balloting or ballot harvesting, is that taking place this go around? Or has that been tightened up? I know we have a liberal tilt in the state house because of the way the delegates and the state senate work out. But there's been a lot of states across the country, a lot of them with Republican governors and legislatures, trying to tighten up on some of this funny business that goes on in elections. Do you see that being a possible problem, or is it even affecting this race?
Virginia certainly had some electoral reforms by this legislature, but not to the extent that other states in terms of ballot harvesting and some of those things. However, early voting, drop box,
mm-hmm.
Souls to the polls
yeah.
kind of activities, Sunday voting, those are things that certainly perhaps broaden the opportunities where people might generate some concern. I mean, we want everyone who's eligible to vote.
Yeah.
But we want to have confidence in that vote. And
right,
so
exactly.
I do not back off the notion of concerns about election integrity. That's not fraud, it's integrity.
Right.
How confident am I in terms of the voting and the voting process?
Yeah.
And I think that's a legitimate kind of concern. But thankfully in Virginia, we do not have the wide latitude that some of the other states have.
You know, the video came out over the weekend, the 300 churches that Kamala Harris was in, and I found this after the show yesterday.
Souls to the polls,
yes.
Mark. Get the,
exactly.
the terminology right.
I found this audio after the show. I thought I found it during the show, but there was a point where Mitt Romney was accused on the Senate floor by Harry Reid that he didn't pay his taxes, and Harry Reid never proved it. But in a post-interview after Harry Reid was already out of office, he said in an interview to CNN, he didn't win, did he, in response to that question.
Hmm.
And I was surprised he even let that out. I kind of brought that up yesterday because even if Kamala Harris and Terry McAuliffe get in trouble and Terry wins, for example, there'll be kind of that said in the back rooms, maybe, well, Terry won, and they'll get a slap on the wrist. Do you see any repercussions at all coming for the McAuliffe campaign with this endorsement to all the churches?
No. No. I have to tell you, I mean, the outside and some of the advertising, the more negative, as I said in the past, the more negative, the closer the election potential, the more negative the campaigns become and more aggressive. And it's going to be very difficult to do a causal in terms of anything that the vice president said in within the context. And so I just don't see any chiding about that activity. And it is for them about motivating the base,
mm-hmm.
making sure they get out the vote and they desperately need the African-American vote.
Yeah.
Terry McAuliffe could get 90% of the African-American vote, but will the numbers be sufficient? Will it be at that representation of, rather than 13, will it be higher in the 18 to 20% range is what he needs? And so that's critical for them. When it is very close, and I've done all I can do, and I'm not over 50%, remember, I have to now get you to vote against the other person.
Right.
And so you're not voting for, and it appears that the difference here of that 5 or 10%, and right now, Youngkin is winning among self-identified independents,
mm-hmm.
which is very important that becomes very critical in terms of how you play this, getting to vote against someone rather than for the individual. And so that's part of the strategy, but it's just going to intensify, especially in terms of direct mail. It's going to get worse.
Right.
The most distortion is in the direct mail pieces.
Okay.
Outright lies, quite frankly.
Right.
We had a listener who texted in and said, what percentage of Virginians do you think really trust our elections? Do you think there's still enough election integrity? Because I think that's the most discouraging thing when people think about not participating in the process.
Well, so the polls that we've seen focusing in terms of Virginia, it depends upon how they ask the question. And again, if I say on a scale of 1 to 10, how confident are you? At the national level, I have concerns, and I'm only at about an 8. And especially when I look at 2020. Now, this is has nothing to do with Trump.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying in terms of the process, I do not like ballot harvesting. I don't think you should have 90 days or 60 days when they can even start voting before there's interaction, debates, or what have you. I don't like automatically mailing out ballots. That just has all types of opportunities.
Right, it's rife with problems.
So even myself, I'm only at an 8. Within Virginia, hardcore who says, really, it's probably about 28 to 30% or so that would have concerns expressed in terms of voting integrity.
Okay.
All right.
I mean, it's important. You hear the other side talking about disenfranchisement constantly because that works again on fear. But you know, we're talking about election integrity. There's got to be a certain level of that, or those that have integrity will say, what's the use? And I hate to see us ever get there, because everybody should, you know, that's legally a citizen, should participate in this process.
Oh, absolutely. And look, if you say, okay, voter ID is problematic. Okay, how is it problematic to verify who's voting
is
actually won that person or a valid? So instead of a driver's license, it can be a utility bill to verify address. In other words, you can address some of the concerns so that one is not disenfranchised. We've also got to bring some common sense to it.
Sure.
And one thing that we tend to forget is that voting is a right, but it's also a privilege from the standpoint that I need to be informed, I need to keep up with it.
Sure.
Why would you force someone who doesn't vote? My youngest son, who now is middle-aged, he didn't start voting until in his mid-20s later.
Right.
And always asked why. And he said, Dad, I'm not informed enough to make a decision, and it's not relative yet. Now, once he
got
a job and started looking at things, okay, all right, now, yeah, you better start chiming in.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was the legitimate reason not to vote. Why just vote? You have the right to vote,
but
you don't have to vote if you don't feel right about it. And so he taught me a little lesson there. And I get a little bit disturbed when I see on campuses registering voters, and you get a free bottle of Pepsi Cola or something
if
you're registered to vote.
or a marijuana gummy bear.
Well, yes, that's even better.
Oh, wow.
Dr. Bob, we always enjoy having you on the show. Thank you so much for always being available to us and our listeners as we muddle our way through this election, which is just, within 2 weeks away here. It's just crazy to think that it's going to happen, and we'll check in with you a couple more times until then, okay?
Oh, absolutely. It's always my pleasure. Thank you for your kindness.
Yes, sir. Dr. Bob Denton, he is with the School of Communications of Virginia Tech, and we're always enjoying his company here on The Morning Jam.
Janet Rose and Mark Lamb. Common Sense Talk Radio. We are The Morning Jam.